almost 40 years, used to talking. As soon as I calm down, then it'll be fine. Thanks for coming out this morning. We are in a world that is shaking. When I first started reading this scripture, and I got this word in my heart, it was, I'd say, maybe last November. But in the meantime, and I would have started by saying, this is a crazy world, isn't it? A crazy world? Wow, that doesn't even fit what the world is now. This is a shaking world. And we shouldn't be surprised at that, because we've been warned. In the Old Testament, we have been warned. I'm sorry, this is going to go in and out, obviously. We've been warned in the Old Testament, starting at Mount Sinai, when Moses came down and he found the people in sin while he had been up on the mountaintop, and he threw the... This is bother people, it's bothering me. I'll talk really loud. Steve, you might need to come right. At that time, I was like, why do we have to have these six anchors with us when we go? They were all different. But then I realized, as the years went on, that the anchor to your boat is very important. In fact, it's probably one of the first things that you need to choose when you're going out. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of things you have to consider about choosing your anchor, because there's all different kinds of anchors. Okay? What's your boat like? Is it a little boat? Is it a cabin cruiser? Is it an ocean liner? That's going to make a difference. How long are you going to be gone? Are you going out fishing for a couple of hours? Or are you going with the guys for a couple of days? Or are you going across the sea? And that's going to take 2 weeks. That's important. What's the depth? What's the depth going to be like? How deep are you going? Have you looked at the weather? What's the weather going to be like? There are a lot of things to consider when you're choosing an anchor. In fact, the first thing you should consider is your anchor. Because if you run into a storm and you don't have the right anchor, you are in a mess. I don't know if any of you ever watched that movie, The Perfect Storm. I couldn't even watch the ending of that movie. All of these situations call for a specific anchor, because it's all about holding power. It's all about the holding power. Now I'm going to ask you to do something a little crazy, probably. Okay, I want all of you to picture a boat. Actually, just close your eyes for a minute. Humor me here. Close your eyes for a minute and picture in your mind a boat, any boat. You picture it. Now, after you've pictured your boat, I want you to picture the nice day you've had out in your boat, but there's a storm. Picture your storm. Now, you're in your boat, you're in a storm. Now I want you each to picture throwing out your anchor. Okay, open your eyes. Well, here's the thing. I bet you it's true that not one of you in here, if I asked you, your boat would be different from any other person in here. It would look different. And I'll bet your storm was different. The storm that you pictured was different. And I'll even bet the anchor that you threw out looked different. But there is one thing you all did that was exactly the same. You threw the anchor out and down into the water. It went down into the water. And that's what the world does. The world takes its anchors, the ones we talked about before, the government. the banks, the institutions, they take their anchors and they throw them down. The world throws their anchors down. Onto what? Again, all those things that are shaking. That's where the world's throwing its anchor. Haggai said, I will shake all nations. But see, for us, it's different. Here's what I discovered was different. This time when I was studying this word, in Hebrews chapter 7, it says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered. Did you get that? It says, our hope, the one that's firm and secure, has entered the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Our anchor goes up. Our anchor has gone up. And it is, his name is Jesus.
Amen.
And that is firm and secure.
Amen.
That is the difference between the world's anchor, the shaking, 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 and our anchor. It is firm and secure. Our superior anchor has gone up. It has gone into the heavenlies and through the veil, into the inner sanctuary, into the very holy of holies.
Amen.
That is where our anchor is. Do you know that this is the only place in the New Testament that the anchor is called the anchor of hope? You will not see that phrase anywhere else in the New Testament. You'll see anchor, but this is the only place where it's called the anchor of hope. The anchor of the soul is what it's called. The anchor of the soul. You won't see that anyplace else, that phrase. And I think it's called that to distinguish it from any other kind of hope. Make no mistake. This is a singular hope. It is the anchor of our soul. And if we look up in chapter 7 to verse 13, there are two things that secure our hope. Two things. It says that we have a promise. In verse 13, it says we have a promise. When God made his promise to Abraham. And then down in verse 16, it says that he gave us an oath. The oath that confirms what is said. We have a promise and an oath. They, according to verse 18, they are the two unchangeable, unshakable things that make it impossible for God to lie. God did this so that by two unchangeable things, a promise and an oath, it is impossible for him to lie. You know, the hopes of the world are uncertain because men lie. I'll tell you what, I remember, and you've done it too, so don't tell me you haven't. When your kids were little and they'd be begging you for something, Mom, can we get this toy? We'll see. Mom, can so-and-so come over? We'll see. Mom, can you take me to get? We'll see. My kids learned that we'll see means no. God is not the God of we'll see. We'll see. No. He took care of that a long time ago. With an oath and a promise. And what is this promise set before us says we have this hope as an anchor for the soul. What is this promise set before us? In verse 18, it's eternal life, friends. It is the promise of eternal life that is set before us. Our eternal future is the anchor of our soul, firm and secure. It's your hope, as Colossians says, your hope laid up in heaven for you. It's your hope laid up in heaven. Looking at verse 18, it says, God did this so that by two unchangeable things, that was the oath and the promise, in which it's impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us. We who have fled. We who have fled what? The hopes of the world. Have you fled the hopes of the world? I fled the hopes of the world. Thank you, Jesus. In 1974, when that great move of the Spirit swept through Central Florida. The ways of the world, though, I'm going to be quite honest with you, they've crept into my life. They have just crept and crept and crept into my life. Walking that narrow way back in the 70s, 80s, we even took all of our, you know, that narrow, we even were told when Derek Prince passed through, man, those record albums, they're the devil. We took all of our record albums and put them in a big burn pile. I'm sure some of you did that too.
A lot of money.
I went around the house and things that I would have on the walls or like, you know, those Mexican sons? That's of the devil, I would say. Oh yeah, I did that. You know? It may have gone a little bit overboard, but what I'm saying is I've become comfortable. And I feel like one of the things that God is saying right now is, wake up! Wake up, church! I am shaking you! This isn't about the world. This hasn't had anything to do with the world. This has to do with you, the church. It is time for judgment to begin in the household of God. And our judgment will be a purifying judgment. Not a punitive or punishing judgment, but God is saying, wake up, wake up. Your hope is in nothing of this world. Nothing. If you are saved, then you have been taken hold of. When it says, take hold of this hope. Well, actually, the truth of the matter is that hope first took hold of you.
Amen.
And because he took hold of you by his Holy Spirit, spoke to you in your heart and in your mind, and you gave yourself to the Lord, he took hold of you. And truthfully, because he took hold of you, you took hold of him. It's a done deal. It's firm and secure. It's unfailing. It's not going anywhere. It's permanent and it can never be lost. And it enters the inner sanctuary behind the veil. That hope, that anchor, our forerunner, Jesus Christ, has already done the work. It's firm. It's secure. It's holding power. Nothing on this earth has any holding power. And we are seeing that now more than ever. where Jesus, our high priest, is gone on our behalf. Okay, so if all that's true, why does it feel sometimes like I am grasping, I'm grasping for that hope? I hope I can get the hope. You know, that kind of thing. Why does it feel like that? That anchor is firmly secured up there behind the veil in the Holy of Holies. I know that. I'm sure of that. Then why does it feel like that rope is just kind of dangling? Is it attached to me, Lord? Why does it feel more attached sometimes than others? You haven't just left me hanging out there, have you? That security is fixed on both ends. Let me assure you that. That scripture doesn't say to try to hold on. It says, we who have fled, what have we fled? The things of the world. To take hold of. It doesn't say to try to take hold of. It says, we who have fled to take hold of. God has taken hold of you. It is part of your salvation. It's when you were saved, that promise, I will hold on to you, that is part of the promise of salvation. It's done. You don't have to try to grasp at it. It's one of the rewards of salvation. The holding fast, the holding firm, the holding on. Listen, if it was up to you to hold on, it would be a works. God would love me if I hold on. It would be a works. It would be earned. God's faithfulness, my friend, is all about Him. It's not about you.
Amen.
His faithfulness is about Him. Hebrews 6:9 tells us that godly hope belongs to salvation. Godly hope belongs to salvation. The world's hope belongs to men. Hope is rooted in the faithfulness of God. It's not the other way around. It's not my faithfulness to Him. Because Christ's work is finished, and we are in Christ, our anchor is fixed and secure. That anchor is our hope. Our hope for the future. Our hope of salvation. Our hope of being with God eternally and being with Him behind that veil in the heavenly of heaven, in the heavenly, the Holy of Holies. We hold fast because we're held fast. Philippians 3:12 says, I press on to take hold of that which Christ, Jesus, took hold of me. Now, we just don't sit down here and twiddle our thumbs and do nothing. We press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of me. And that, my friends, the that is every single thing that His salvation promises, including the hope set before us, firm and secure. Holding fast is the result of belonging to Christ, not the reason I belong to Christ. Did you hear that? Holding fast and holding on is the result of Christ, not the reason I belong. Because if it was the reason, it would mean that I had to do it all. And that's not the way it is. So, I don't know how long I've taken it. I like to say this in conclusion. We are in the storms of life. The church is in the storms of life. The world is in the storms of life. Storms of life are part of life. But right now, God is shaking all the nations. And whether we're in a storm or whether we're in a calm harbor, we still need an anchor. If you go out to Sanford and you see all the boats out there that are in the harbor, some of them have little what do you call those places where they park them? Yeah, the name. But some of them are out in the water. They didn't have an anchor. They'd just be floating around aimlessly. Without an anchor, a Christian without, we have to have an anchor, or we just float around like the world in a sea of moral relativity and political correctness. Even in a calm harbor, we need the anchor. The anchor firm and secure. First Peter 1, 3 through 5 ends this way. This inheritance is being kept for you. For you and you and you and you and you. The inheritance is being kept for you in heaven, who through faith are shielded by God's power. So, may we find our anchor securely set in Him, securely. The author and finisher of our faith. Let us find our anchor securely in Him. Hebrews 12:28 says, it reminds us, this is Hebrews 12:28, great scripture. Since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, there's no unshakable thing. You want to know something that can't be shaken? It's not these things down here. Everything's shaken down here. It says right here, since means because. Since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful.
Amen.
Let us be thankful. And not only that, let us worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Wake up. Wake up, church. Are we worshiping our God acceptably with reverence and awe? Are we walking acceptably in reverence and awe? Are we overflowing with the joy of hope and the Spirit? Not as the world gives hope. It's useless hope. God is calling us to wake up. Wake up. Just wake up. You're asleep. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, and the thief will come in the night.
That's right.
Poverty will come upon you. I don't mean money poverty. Poverty of the spirit.
Amen.
Don't doze off. We have this hope. We have this hope as an anchor for our souls, firm and secure. It has entered through the veil in the inner sanctuary by our forerunner, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That is the the hope set before us. Let's pray. Father, I use your word right now. It's beautiful scripture. Close. I pray that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know, that we know, that we know the hope to which you have called us. The riches of this glorious inheritance, Lord, in your holy people, all of us, and your incomparably great power to us who believe. Let us see your anchor, not below, Lord, but where it rightfully is, firm and secure in the heavens. Amen.
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 Well, it's obvious. It's obvious to me, all the years that I was pastoring and preaching here, you were getting the second question. Ponder it. Search your hearts regarding the truth of where your anchor is. That we might all embrace at the end of our life, of time, enter into destiny, the hope of glory. Have a great week. God bless you.
Plus, we got the fruit. We got the fruit.